Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Let's start with 4:30 Sports. John Edwards is away in New Zealand, of all places, for the entire month of December. So what we've done is we found the legend himself. From Alexander Galt, in for the vacationing John, it's Bob Halsall. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm very good, Daniel. Thanks for asking me to do this again.
Oh, I love to have you. Hey, let's start with Piper Hockey.
All right. Well, the Pipers have had a good start to their season. Piper hockey program has three teams, U18, U15, and U14. The U18 have a record of 17 wins and only one loss. They've played some super hockey. They have good goaltending, good defense, and they do score some goals. They'll be playing Friday night at Bishop's against the first-place Bromptonville team. Saturday, they'll be at Bishop's against a school from Saint-Félix-d'Acton, Le Couvert. Sunday, they're in Plessisville, and Monday, they're in Bromptonville for a game at 4:30. The U15 team is a good team, but they just run out of gas midway through the third period. They've led a lot of their games, and they let them get away late in the game. So if they can figure that out, they'll definitely have a great second half. Then we have the U14 team. They're the young developing team. They've done well so far, too. Less of a tough schedule on them, but they've done okay. So Piper Hockey under Coach Robbie Fisk looks real good.
Good stuff. Let's talk about Bishop's University, Bob. Lots of things going on. You want to talk about a little basketball, hockey, and perhaps even football recruiting from this week?
I do know that the men's basketball team won last weekend, so they finished the Christmas break at 5 wins and 1 loss, which is super. The girls lost their game to University of Laval, so they're at 4-2. But both teams are looking good, and they look to have a really good second half. Neither team is ranked in the top 10 in the Canada U Sports, but who knows, that second half could turn lots of things around. So in that area, the girls' hockey, Gabrielle Santerre, she's one of their best players, probably one of the best players in the whole province. She's been picked to play on the Canada FIU-SU team, which will be going to a big tournament in Torino, Italy, a championship, and it's in January 13th to 23rd, so it'll be something to watch there. Football recruiting's already happening. I'm going to save a lot of that for John to talk about when he comes back in January, but they've gone out and got two real good players, Nicholas Androy and Isaac Caranto. So things are looking up at Bishop's, and who knows what's going to happen.
You were talking about Gabrielle. I interviewed her last year. She's really a wonderful athlete. Unfortunately, the PWHL did not see into wanting to draft her this past year.
Well, that's probably okay for her because it gives her another year of working and looking into it, and I think she will make a real good player in a year or two there.
She's not very big physically, Bob, but holy mackerel, her statistics last year are out of sight.
Well, she uses her size and her skating to the best ability she can, and she's got a heart of gold.
All right, Bob Halsall with sports. We talk to you again at 5:30, Bob.
Thank you.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Storm. to call. You could almost hear a pin drop. Except for the clock on the wall. Yeah, yeah. I'm scared that you won't make it through the storm. Yeah. You should be here with me, safe and
the weekly news review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
Weekly news review with Mike McDevitt here, 2 weeks before Christmas. Michael, I trust you're doing well.
I am doing fine. You?
I'm right in there. We made the old Christmas tree last week, started buying a few presents to put under it.
Well, there you go. Everything is unfolding as it should.
Life is good. I think we're going to have a longer segment because we have so many things to talk about. But let's start with former director of Champlain College, Lennoxville, Nancy Beatty. She's claiming $2.2 million from her former employer and other parties. She believes she was a victim of a disguised dismissal and a smear campaign. Ms. Beatty also believes she was the victim of deceptive maneuvers by the institution's board of directors and its directeur général Yves Ranville, accusing him of disguising a vote of no confidence resolution against her. One of the things that I found touching is that she says that her life has been basically a living hell these past few months. People who had known her for a long time avoided her, whether by lowering their heads at the grocery store or by looking away when passing in front of her as she were a stranger. When you're in a small community, no matter what you're involved in, can be really tough to deal with.
For sure. Like I said, Nancy saw a particularly steep decline in her status and reputation. Really, really highly thought of. I don't know why her reputation took the heat that it did. It certainly did. I've discussed with a couple of former Champlain employees, and there was something going on that we don't know about. I don't know about. I have to say, after watching sort of that investigation that they carried out, that didn't seem to be all that much above board either. It seemed to me that they had already reached a conclusion before they even started. So she may have something.
I just look at it from far away, man. It's just a sad situation overall.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Well, you're used to being a hero in a community, almost like Buffy St. Marie, you know? She used to be a hero among the indigenous population, and now she's nobody dares speak her name, almost. It's a fall from grace that is pretty profound.
Well, that doesn't take away what the person is and being shunned in your own community, man.
No, this is it. I'm sure she's not the first person to go through that. I would imagine that it hits pretty hard.
For her last budget before the end of her term, Mayor Evelyne Baudin believes she's keeping one of her key promises. The property tax increase will be 3.27% in Sherbrooke in 2025. It corresponds to $130 more in taxes if you have a $415,000 home. This year, the elected officials had to deal with the new triennial assessment rule. The value of properties has increased by an average of 60%. Of course, the increase is not reflected in the citizens' tax notice. Everywhere I look, be it Stansted, here at Orford, we've got a 4% increase. Municipalities, I guess, have the obligation to dole out these 3% and these 4% increases like it was candy. I understand their role is not easy. It's not easy for the taxpayer either.
It isn't, especially in these difficult times now. I can't say I'm surprised. The municipality has had to take on a lot of used to be provincial things. You know, just take a look around you at all the construction work that's been going on the road this year. That's all got to be paid for. The miracle, I think, was the Darche coming in under budget.
And on time.
Yeah. I'm impressed by some of the work they've done on Galt Street, the Galt Street Bridge, finishing up the Terrell Bridge. I mean, you know, that's got to be paid for, but everybody's got to pay for it.
I'll be the first one to say that I wouldn't want to be a local politician. You can't win in any circumstance, and this is one of the reasons nobody wants to run anymore.
Well, it's not fun anymore, and the perks of office aren't as good as they used to be, for sure. We've entered a new age.
I hear you. I hate talking about Donald Trump every week, but I still have to bring this up, Michael. The president-elect of the U.S. mocked Premier Justin Trudeau, calling him Governor Trudeau and suggesting Canada could be a 51st state. It's one of the things I dislike about Trump is how he puts down people he works with. But anyway, in a section we'll call Humor Me Here, Michael, let's play this little game together. I've heard a lot of people wish that Canada could become part of the USA. What are your thoughts on that?
From the Donald's point of view, he should think very carefully about inviting a whole bunch who would be Democrats and another foreign language group into the country so willingly. It wouldn't do Republicans any good. Canada is a very big country and would never, no matter how much those wingdings want to wish that we were part of the United States, would never be one state. Breaking up Canada into even a couple of states and then adding them to the United States is not going to do the Republicans any good. I mean, Donald Trump is one of the most unpopular political figures in Canada that I've ever seen. Yeah. Even conservatives don't like him.
In history.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, he was just being a bully and a show off. He has no intention of doing that. He wants to get at our water, but he's not going to invade us or take us over to get it.
Well, you bring up a really, really good point. See, my problem with that would be the United States right now are in desperate need of water and our natural resources. Certainly not be in favor to see them come over and pillage us to get what they want.
Well, it wouldn't be as easy as he seems to think. The United States and their attempts to take over countries hasn't gone as well as they expected in recent decades. Despite what, you know, some people like to say loudly, American occupation of Canada would not go over well. It wouldn't be easy. It wouldn't do them any good. And like I said, you know, aren't very many likely Republican voters up here. There are some, for sure. I see them on the internet all the time. I'm not worried about them. And I would love for the Donald to sit down and talk to the separatists sometimes because...
That's just hilarious. All right. Dictator Bashar al-Assad, the regime fell this week, Michael. Man, he was a bad dude, responsible for more than 500,000 dead. The rebel forces are selling themselves like noble people. I don't know.
The bar's pretty low over there, let's put it that way. I can't say I'm disappointed that Assad, he had to run with his tail between his legs. Boy, he saw what was coming better than I did. That was an awful fast takeover. You know, I'd been wondering in recent months, well, I wonder what happened in Syria. Is that under control? And whoa, it sure wasn't. That radical group deciding to be moderate. I mean, he said all the right things. He wants a state that's open to everybody and all the communities will be safe and Well, if you really mean that, we'll see.
Yep.
He'd have to go to some lengths to be worse than Assad. And the Syrian people seem to agree, so.
It's a black eye for Putin. Russia was supposed to be right behind him, you know, to protect Assad. Quite frankly, Putin didn't have the weapons to do it. He's putting room and board up here for Bashar al-Assad and proof that these dictators deal with themselves, and it's an awful stain to humanity.
I don't think he's going to have that much fun in Russia. He'll probably be treated okay, but Russia's not a great place. I don't know how much money he managed to take off, but it's probably quite a bit. Well, if he's in Russia, we don't have to deal with him. He can hang around with Steven Seagal and those guys.
It's amazing how you look at Syria and so many poor people and the wealth that Assad had accumulated with the cars and the pools and all the luxuries of life. It's awful.
Wealth on display. Not that much taste. The thing about him that interests me is he married a British woman, right? If she's ever going to wake up one morning and say, Moscow's cold, maybe I'll go home. I'd be very curious to see what happens then.
These are like biker gangs, Michael. The problem with Bashir is, you know, you shack up with him, you can't leave anymore.
I kind of suspect you're right.
Yeah. And Putin, but look at him, probably the world's richest man, again, for everything he's stolen from his country.
Yeah.
Yep. The amazing Kreskin passed away this week, age 89, Michael.
That.
Yeah. Family revealed the passing on social media. Kreskin, whose real name was George Kresge, born in Montclair, New Jersey in 1935. He was all over TV in the 70s and 60s and 80s. He rose in the 70s through numerous TV shows like The Mike Douglas Show, Merv Griffin, and The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
TV shows out of Canada, too. He was a big deal in Canada. Used to watch Kreskin every once in a while. He was a funny little dude.
Who was that guy on CTV at noontime that used to drink the glass of milk and do jokes?
Johnny Jellybean.
Johnny Jellybean. That was it.
You never know what lonesome is till you gets to herding cows.
You didn't expect we having this conversation 2 weeks before Christmas,
no,
did you?
I don't run into very many people that remember Johnny Jellybean. Jeez. Yep. We used to rush home from school in Shawinigan at noon hour to watch him, and I'd always be late to get back because the last part of the show was always a Little Rascals film. I didn't want to leave before that. I'd get to school late. A good price to pay, I guess.
The things you hear on radio. Mike McDevitt, the Weekly News Review. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Daniel.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
Sound of the underground chains. You know it feels.
time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Time for Taylor McClure. Taylor reports from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Daniel. How are you doing?
Yeah, my spies tell me you're under the weather just a little bit. Hang in there, slugger. You'll make it.
Oh, yeah. It's the typical cold that's going around, so yeah. I know I'll survive.
It's warm, it's cold, it's rainy. Look, I get it, and good luck with that.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the start of the ski season, Taylor.
Yeah, so both Mount Sutton and Owl's Head mark their first weekend on December 7th, and this week they are in the snowmaking process in order to open up their trails full-time, 7 days a week, starting this weekend. So something that people can expect from both Mount Sutton and Owl's Head this year is a more eco-responsible approach when it comes to developing the experiences and offerings on the mountain. So I spoke with representatives from both Mount Sutton and Owl's Head who highlighted the investments they have made in new equipment that helps reduce their ecological footprint while also ensuring that there is, of course, enough snow on the slopes. So as we all know, warming temperatures and rapid changes in weather have created challenges for our ski hills. So they're trying to find ways to continue to offer this experience while reducing the impact on the environment as much as possible. People can expect some new offerings this year at Mount Sutton, such as a new alpine touring guide service. And there are many other things in store for at both mountains for individuals and families. So you can listen to CIDI's interview with both Mount Sutton and Owl's Head by heading to our SoundCloud page, or you can of course find all updates as to what trails are open and when on the website of Mount Sutton and Owl's Head as well.
I'll tell you, with climate change, I wouldn't want to be the proprietor of a golf or ski station these days.
Hey, yeah, no, it's not easy, but they're definitely figuring it out and trying to invest in different solutions to continue offering this experience to people here in the townships.
Let's highlight Midnight Madness this weekend.
Yeah, so the annual Midnight Madness event, for those who don't know, it takes place in Knowlton every year. It's taking place this Saturday on December 14th. Businesses in Knowlton actually keep their doors open from 5 p.m. until midnight. So Midnight Madness is meant to be like festive time and a festive celebration with activities throughout the village. There's a Christmas market. There's local artisans and food trucks on site. And of course, the local shops will be open and they are ready to welcome visitors and tourists alike that are hoping to finish their Christmas shopping. And during this time, there are also special rebates offered by the different shops and businesses that are in the village. So it's an event that's been going on for over 10 years now. And I know that it's something that people look forward to. So I just wanted to highlight that for those who are interested in attending.
Taylor McClure is heard on CIDIFM. Daily news bits can be heard on CIDI991.com/website. And Taylor, you also wanted to mention something pertaining to the brand new website you've got.
Yes, so I'm sure people who often go to our website have noticed some changes. So I just wanted to make people aware that, yes, we have a brand new website. This isn't our old website that we've made changes to. We are launching a brand new website. It is still in development. We are still fiddling around with our content and trying to bring this website to life for our listeners. So please be patient with us just while the team works hard to make this website special for our community. You're not going to see content or news stories from 3 years ago on the website. This is completely normal. I just wanted to make note of this. But you can listen to past episodes of Township's Daily News Bits or any show that plays on CIDI by heading to our SoundCloud page. All of our episodes dating back to, I don't even know how long. They are up there on our SoundCloud page. So if you can't access it through our new website, please refer to our SoundCloud page for the time being as we get this website up and running for our loyal listeners here in the townships.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with community radio. Tip of the hat to Tony, Allie, and Taylor. Very few people doing lots of work.
Yes. So thank you for being patient with us during this time. We really appreciate all your support, and we promise we're trying to make this special for everyone.
Taylor, we speak one more time next week before the holiday break. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too, Daniel. Thank you.
Township's weekend weather, a few clouds. Going to be windy tonight, low minus 16, with a wind chill of about minus 20. Saturday, sunny, high minus 9. Saturday night, clear, minus 18. Sunday, sunshine, high minus 2. Long range for Monday, cloudy, high plus 2 degrees. Ed Humphrey from Townshipers Association just after 5 o'clock. 5:10 interview of the week, Tabitha Armstrong. She's the general manager at the Newport Daily Express. Plenty of interesting subjects have to do with the lake, the incoming president, Tabitha Armstrong. 5:30 sports, Bob Halsall. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. The Friday Drive at CJMQ and CIDI-FM.